I'm Radek.
I'm Michael.
And this is The Podcast,
a sounding board for interesting ideas and insights. We discuss books we read and want to share with you,
as well as technology and productivity, which is what we do by day, working on our app, Nozbe.
Or whatever else comes to mind.
So, we're a bit late with this, I suppose, as we're nearing the end of January. But we've both been thinking a lot about the past year, how we did, how we fared against our plans, our goals for 2016. And we've been reflecting a lot on the plans for 2017, trying to make a plan so that we actually, you know, achieve our goals in 2017.
Yeah. And actually, this episode will air on 31st of January, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, first of all, I don't think we are that late. I mean, I think, you know, even though January is almost over, you're never too late, you know, to plan your goals and you know, plan your year anyway. We're still 11 months in. And side note, tomorrow is going to be February 1st, and tomorrow we'll be celebrating 10 years of Nozbe. Yay!
Nice. That's awesome. 10 years. Wow.
Yep. So we'll discuss this in the future episode, but yeah, just I want just to say that, you know, tomorrow is going to be a big party here. Virtual party.
Yes, indeed. Maybe that's actually a good thing. Like, around the new year, there's a lot of enthusiasm for, you know, New Year's resolutions and just ideas that are not real goals and they're not real plans and they fizzle out quickly. So maybe now in late January, we're over this childish enthusiasm and it's time to make a real adult plan for the year.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's always this, you know, recurring joke that when you try to go to the gym in the, you know, in January, it's full because everybody's going to the gym for the first month and then they never show up.
I can confirm it's literally true.
All right.
So I think the way we're going to go about it is we're going to share how we both went about planning our year and reviewing the last year. We did something similar to this a year ago, and it was good. There's a lot of good advice in there, I think. But I don't know about you, but I've learned a lot about this sort of thing. I've made a serious plan for 2016, and I've been really successful with most of the things I've planned, but it was only because of the system, like how I actually went about it. And I think this year I'm even more prepared on this organizational level. And I think I did it even better with actually making a plan. And then maybe around the end with share some specifics from our plans.
Yeah. Every year we're learning something new. We're reading all these books, right? And again, let's confirm that reading these books is not for nothing. We are learning new things and learning new skills. So, there are a few changes I've made this time when planning New Year. And and they're also inspired by a few books that we read.
Yeah. So you start. What were the changes?
Yeah. So one of the big ones, is the, and this is not learned from any book, but actually an advice from a fellow podcaster, Michał Szafrański, was this idea to close the year. I would always, you know, I would always plan next year and take the plans from last year as a default, you know, that they have to be moved to the next year. I mean, because they haven't been finished. I mean, the ones that haven't been finished, they should be moved by default to the next year to be completed eventually. I mean, that was always my logic. And then, you know, this guy, my friend, he's saying, no, Michael, you have a permission to choose to take the plan and keep at it or close it, you know, just close it and say, you know, this plan is no longer relevant for next year. It's going to be just nuked. It's going to be, you know, closed. And it sounds crazy, but it was like a revelation for me. I have this choice. I mean, these plans don't have to go by default to the next year. They can, I can choose consciously to not pursue this plan anymore.
Yeah, that's obviously true. You shouldn't feel like you're stuck to following your past decisions.
Yeah, and it made a big difference in my preparation, because I realized that a few of the things that I wanted to do, I don't have to do them anymore. And then and a few other things, and this way I made room for other things. So that was like the first, the first major change that I realized.
Mm-hmm. And you said closing the year. What do you mean exactly by that? Do you just mean like giving up or reviewing the past projects, or do you also mean like reviewing how you did with last year, reviewing the data and whatnot?
Yeah, two things. So closing the year is reviewing the last year, reviewing what I've done, the good things, the bad things, going through my journal, going through, my thoughts for last year, going through my tasks. And then, so that was the first thing. So just, having putting a score for myself, how it went. There's also the other score, which is financial score, because I can check, how well our company went and our business went, and it went pretty okay, which is good. There was some nice growth. But then it was the first thing. And second thing was to, once I've done that, to consciously, destroy some of the projects or kill some of the projects, complete some of the projects without completing them or removing them at all, and trying to plan new year from scratch, from like a blank slate, like knowing what I know, what I've accomplished, and plan the year anew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely a good idea. So for my past year, most of the things I wanted to accomplish or learn or whatever, I did. So there wasn't, I didn't even consider that this is a problem that you have to consciously decide if you're going to move over the project to next year. I didn't have a problem with that one, but definitely review the past year, review the data. So I collect lots of stats. I've mentioned some of it.
You're the geek.
I am. But I only do it and doing it more and more because I actually find it useful to be able to
totally
to look at it from a perspective, not just a subjective feeling, but just look at the data and see if I'm actually doing better or worse. So I do this with my weight. And with my morning routine projects, I'm tracking every day. Did I actually wake up at 8? Or did I make up an excuse? Did I read in the morning? How many hours in a day I spent in deep work? Things like that. So being able to see that data graphed over time, I think that's very, very useful. So, and of course, review the goals for last year. And this is the same how you would do every week during your weekly review. So just, how did it go? What did you accomplish? What did you not accomplish? How could you do better? Like, what's the reason why you failed with this? Was it something about the task that was more difficult? Like, did you try to do more than you were able to? Like, just, learn from your mistakes. Don't just try doing the same thing over and over. Just make a feedback loop like that.
Yeah, and consider yourself a lucky one, because in my case, I am a very optimistic person, and I always put too much on my plate, and because I have several roles in the company, I also put there too much weight on things that I have to do. And this is one of the breakthroughs for me for next year. I mean, for this year, is that I'm planning less. So I'm planning less in a way. I'm going to have fewer goals, but with deep work, and with essentialism, I just want double down on them, and try eliminate everything else. To filter out the noise a lot more. I was really bad last year at filtering out the noise. I was taking up too many things which didn't matter, and this was one of the key takeaways from last year. I mean, things that were you know, semi-important or seemed important, but in the end were just distractions. And it's really easy this way to do it, to fall into this, you know, rabbit hole. So this year I'm really filtering out these things. And by saying that, I'm also designing my system this way. So I'm gonna have like a chat with my assistants now, in a way that how we process things, how we decide on things, and whenever there is a new input or new thing coming my way, we should have a system how Michael would react to it, so that I don't have to make a choice, and that the choice can be done like by my team or by my assistant, you know, by somebody else, so that I don't have to make a choice. I don't have to, so I'm not tempted to give in and you know, and do something that I would otherwise, that I should not, you know, be doing.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. So let's focus on the process of actually making a plan. So you mentioned closing the year, deciding what you continue doing, reviewing the year, reviewing the data. What's next? How do you actually go about making a plan so that it actually works?
Yeah, so I had a webinar about it this year. It was one of our most successful webinars in Nosby history about New Year's planning, New Year's resolutions planning. And the best part was that when I prepared for it and I did a presentation, my first draft of the presentation, I went about it the same way as we did last year. But then I realized, after learning what we've learned last year, I realized I have to do it totally differently. And not to focus so much on the goals. I mean, goals are really important, and we'll talk about goals. So I have to set a few goals. But when you set a goal, what's important is not only that the goal is realistic, it has, you know, the time component and all these things, and it's exciting, mm-hmm. and whatnot. Like, these are important things about the goal. But what we've learned, for example, from the book Peak, is that you should think about, okay, so this is my goal. Now, which skills I need to acquire to get to the goal?
Yeah.
And I think this is key. And this is the change of mindset for me for this year, that I'm looking for each goal, I'm looking through the lens of skills that I need to either improve or, you know, acquire, that I don't have, to learn to get to the goal. You know, mm-hmm. we get there more or less, but now with Peak, with what I've learned through this book and through a few other books, I realized how the skills are important. I mean, just think about, you know, your weight goal. Like, your weight goal was to go to 70 kilograms and then to maintain it over the last year, and you did it. And why did you do it? Because you got the skills, man. You knew what to do in order not to fall back with the yo-yo effect and, you know, not to gain weight anymore. You had the mm-hmm. skill set. You know what was required to keep at it. And this is what I realized, you know, also while closing, you know, last year and reviewing my goals, that I succeeded mostly with these goals where I focused on the skills, where I focused on improving my skill set. That's why when planning this goals for this year, what I'm going to do, and I will give an example later, is that I set a goal, but then I focus on the skill set that I need to get there, and then I plan, how I'm going to acquire this skill, what I'm going to do, which kind of training, which kind of, you know, deliberate practice sessions I'm going to have scheduled for this to succeed,
or just like what do you have to read, like. Sometimes we just lack basic knowledge.
Exactly.
You briefly mentioned this last week, but I'm glad you expanded it. The example with my weight is a perfect one, because I wanted to lose weight for a long time. I've tracked my weight
for
a long time. And it's just going, you know, up and down. It's like, I have no control over this. I don't know how it works. Like, I have no idea. So sometimes I'm more motivated and it suddenly goes down, or I'm less and it goes up. But I have no idea. And the reason why this changed and I lost like 15 kilos and stayed for like almost a year at a basically flat, flat line in the graph, is because I acquired the knowledge, right? I didn't have the basics because... I don't know. Like, I don't even know why. Like, there's a ton of just really bad, awful BS diet books, and so this is what I had in my mind, and it just never occurred to me to read a book about losing weight. Like, it now seems ridiculous to me not to go after, you know, searching for the source of knowledge. I would want to do such a thing. Like, obviously, other people spent a lot of time thinking and researching weight loss, and they didn't acquire the basic knowledge. And so I was confused, and I didn't improve. And then I learned, I had the knowledge, so I could develop the habits, the skills, and I achieved the goal.
Yeah, exactly. So this is, you know, this is how you go about doing that. And you acquire new knowledge, and then you practice this. You learn new things. I mean, I'm telling you that, you know, you also got some skill set, because it's not only that you know what you should eat, but you have to actually follow through and eat this stuff, you know, and appreciate it, and have, you know, and really enjoy it. So you have to change your dietary, you know, settings, let's say. And When I was reviewing also my goals, like last year, what I also set out to do is to have a good morning routine, and we talked about it in the past episodes of this podcast, that, you know, how we designed our morning routines, and I was really happy that I managed to pull it off. And then, you know, half year through, it would go totally, you know, out of whack, because my baby was born. So with that, my morning routine, you know, got lost. I couldn't, you know, wake up at the same time as I used to, because I would wake up several times during the night. And the baby is still young, but like this January, I decided, okay, let's go and design my morning routine again. But because I already had the skill set, I knew how to perform my morning routine and which triggers to use, what things to, you know, how to do it to in order to succeed, I very quickly got back. I was surprised, you know, within a week I had my morning routine back at the track. I would wake up, I would do the same things, and I would have, like, I would be in control, and I was surprised how quickly I came back. But because I knew how to do it, so I had the knowledge and I had the skills, because I've been practicing this for the last, you know, for the half a year that I went, I mean, the first half a year of 2016. So it was really easy for me to go back.
That's good. I'm glad you're talking about this, because it also helped me. Last week during my week review, I went through my plan once again with this notion in mind. And I mostly already did this just intuitively. I already made the goal with the learning steps in mind, but I did notice a few holes that I made a goal to, like, be better at X, but at the outset I didn't think enough about what steps are actually necessary for me to just figure out how to do it, you know, so to acquire the skill.
Okay, so and anything that you've, you know, learned planning this new year?
Yeah, for sure. So I also listened to the two episodes, the podcast episodes by Michał Szafrański. They're in Polish, but if you speak Polish, we'll put the link in the show notes. And he had some good ideas that inspired me to be better at my planning. So last year, when I was making my plan, I kind of grouped it together into, like, four sections, like four themes. And that was, you know, that was useful. It was just like four themes and a bunch of, like, points. This time I did it in a more structured way. So, like, more focused, like, you know, I have, like, nine areas or projects that I written up. It's nine, but it's actually not that many. Most of them are fairly simple. So, for example, I have projects like maintain the morning routine and maintain reading. So those are, like, two of the skills that I've developed last year, and I just want to have an eye on it. So this should be simple. I want to keep, you know, waking up every day at 8, read in the morning, and then read 30 books or so a year. But I don't think this is going to be challenging. So there's nine areas. And what I did differently is I doubled down on trying to make the goals more specific and measurable. So the whole the whole smart thing. I mean, man, I hate it. I hate it so much. I hate all the BS enterprise acronyms. But there's a point in that. Like there is an important nugget of truth in this.
Yeah. Let me just break this down for everyone. There is this acronym for goals that they should be smart or smarter, even like Michael Hyatt says. Which basically means that they should be specific, measurable, actionable, risky but realistic, time bound, exciting, and relevant. And
half of them just say the same thing. That's why I hate it.
Yeah, but still, it's merit. It's good to, you know, just when you have a goal, just, you know, filter it out and just go through this, you know, through this checklist and make sure that, you know, things are there.
Yeah, you know, whatever. The two points that are key to me is specific, not vague, and measurable. So what I did is, for example, last year, like in the middle of the year after reading the book Deep Work, I said, yeah, I need to get better at deep work. So I just added to the end something like, I don't know, get better at deep work, right? And that's good. That's a good idea to have, but it's like New Year's resolution style of planning. Like it's not a plan. It's not a real goal. It's just saying what you want to be better at. And that's good, that shows intention, but it's very difficult to hold yourself accountable to that if you can only rely on your vague subjective sense of, are you doing good with this? If you can make it specific and measurable, which you don't always, it's not always possible or practical. But for example, this year I set a goal, something like, do 780 hours of deep work, which comes down to be like 75 hours a month for like 15 hours a week. So it's about what I saw in practice that is achievable, but because it's a number every week and as the year goes by, I can count up. It's really simple. I have a spreadsheet in numbers. I can see like, am I actually on track? Right? I have a very precise way of saying, am I actually getting better at this? Because every day I put a number in there, right? So what I did in these like 9 categories, most of them are really simple, like 1 or 2 points. Some are a bit larger. And what I did is I tried to make everything specific, measurable, put it at the top. And if there are some things that I think are important but are difficult to make measurable, I would put it like separately in a like subheader habits. And I found that quite helpful.
Okay, so you have like spreadsheet for like each day. So each day you put, you know, at the end of the day, you put, you know, how many hours you spend in deep work and things like that?
Yeah, there's a big spreadsheet. There's a row for every day. I've been doing this for years.
All right.
Yeah, I've wanted to talk a bit more about that for a long time, but it just never came up. We'll talk about it in some other episode, I'm sure.
Yeah, because I've been doing this weekly, but the problem with doing this weekly is that it's hard to track some of the things, you know, every day. So
nah, you have to do it every day.
Mm.
So anyway, okay. So make a plan. I have like 9 areas. Specific measurable goals. That way it's easier to hold yourself accountable. Another idea that Michał Szafrański suggested is think about alternatives or like a plan B. So if something like a project or just something you want to do doesn't pan out, like try to consider it as a possibility and already have at least a vague sense of what happens then. So if something takes longer than you expected, you know, how do other things fall in place? That's one thing. And also very broadly, he suggested you have to consider the whole thing. How does it all fit together? So there's strategic thinking involved, because many of the things that they're going to be very just scattered across the place, you know, some personal goals, this and that, like all sorts of things you've always wanted to do or accomplish or get better at, and it's just easy to put them all together for this year, just anything you can think of. And it's much easier to do if it fits together. Like if different aspects of your plan, different areas, different projects, if they fit together, if they make one another easier to accomplish, then that's really good. And also worth considering is if you have a vague idea of what happens next. So like not this year, but next year. If you have like already a vague idea of what you want to do in a slightly longer term, like not 5 years, but like the next year after this year, then it's worth kind of sequencing different projects and ideas and areas of improvement such that you kind of build fundamentals needed for what comes after that.
Yeah, I mean, I've learned this with our quarterly offsite, because every time when I do my quarterly offsite, what happens is that I still do my 5-year plan kind of thing. So how I'm gonna see myself and my, you know, business and my family in 5 years. It's a vague plan. It's not like a strict one, but it's a good exercise to think to see the big picture. Because when you have this big picture, you will guide your day to day and month to month plans based on this vague picture. But at least you have them based on something, and not just as you said, totally irrelevant things that that seem nice or seem exciting or seem particularly relevant right now, but are not don't constitute a whole of you, what you're set up to do.
Mm-hmm. I think that the final thing about the plan itself that is really important to mention is don't overdo it. As I mentioned, it's so easy to just put so many ideas, so many things you want to do just this year. This year I'm going to do it. And you won't, and you will fail, and you'll be sad. You have to really consciously pick your fights, right? Because a year is a long time and also not that long of a time. So you can't do everything. So some things you just have to let go, leave it for later. Some things you've probably procrastinated on for too long, and maybe they're worth taking on this year, but then there's trade-offs involved. And if different things fit together really nicely, then that's good, right? But it's just, for many, many years, I had this notion of New Year's resolutions in my mind, and it never worked because it wasn't a real plan. It was just vague ideas. It usually wouldn't be written down, or if it were, it just would be forgotten. It would never be reviewed, which is, we'll talk about it in a bit. And it was always too ambitious, right? It was trying to do much more than is reasonable to do in a year.
Yeah, one of the things I learned this past year was that like my optimism is standing in the way of my greatness, because I mean, on one hand, it's helping me be optimistic. It means I strive for more, which is good. But on the other hand, the problem is that we don't dedicate enough time for things. So when you plan a goal, as you said, be more realistic and also give yourself more time for these things. Like if you think you're gonna do it in 2 weeks, make it 4 or make it 3 weeks. Just don't sweat it. And because we have this notion that if I don't do it, this month I'm gonna be toast. No, you're gonna be fine. So if you want to learn this and you want to learn it well and you want to acquire good skills that stick with you, that compound over years and help you achieve greatness, it's better to take more time. So this is one of the things, for example, for me, like for this year, that I'm planning like goals that I would normally have them for just like weekly goals or 2 weeks goals. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna dedicate a month for this, 2 months for that, because I know that it might even not be enough, because if I dive too deep into this particular subject, but at least I will have done something meaningful and not just scratched the surface.
Yeah, I agree. I have the same feeling. Over the last year in particular, as I've kind of learned more and more about habits, about learning. I just, you know, I allowed myself to relax and not be so stressed about this, because it just takes time. You know, I grew to just take the long-term view and trust the system, so to speak, because it works. You know, progress every week, but things take time. And especially, like, if talking about habits, like personal change, stuff we talked about last year in particular, like reading and fitness, health, weight loss, morning routine, those are really, really hard. It's building habits like this, making them rock solid, it takes months to begin with. And then it takes a long time to just solidify until it becomes your second nature. So, you know, don't sweat it. It's better to do it sequentially, like really nail this and then focus on that, and not try to, you know, magically fix all of your problems that you wanted to do for years in this year, in a month, and then fail and be bitter about it. That's no way to get better. And with like projects or work things, people underestimate how other things in work, how much time they take, and how little time relatively there is for deep work, even if you get good at it. And it just takes time, and you gotta accept it. Don't overdo it.
Yeah, and especially now that, you know, that tomorrow, as this podcast airs, we're gonna celebrate 10 years of Nozbe, you know, 10 years of running this, you know, internet, web, cloud application. You know, 10 years, a decade. And it gives us, you know, perspective that good things that take time, and you know, 10 years in, we don't feel like we've done it. We feel like we're just getting started. We have so many great ideas and so many great things to build, but we also realized, you know, we're not going to build them overnight. It will take time, and it's going to be fine. It's you know, the world is changing rapidly, but some good things, you know, take time cooking. You know, you cannot, you know, speed these things up.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to ask you, how much time did you dedicate for this, for your annual review? Like how much time did it take you to review the year, to like really deeply reflect on the goals for this year, like make sure it actually makes sense?
Quite a few hours, and I still have a few hours ahead of me, because I still have to nail a few of other goals. So It's hard to say. I haven't counted the hours, but a lot of time, and I'm still going. So I have to admit that realistically, I would need like four more or six more hours to finish off like the goal setting things and setting things up. Especially that I ask for feedback from my team about several you know topics, so I have to plan this as well. So really, like, but the review part, it just, you know. That's why it's good to really dedicate, you know, quite a few evenings for this, or, you know, maybe two weekends or something like that. It pays dividends to do the goal setting for the whole year really well, and to review the year and to close the year. Like really take time. Like, don't rush it. Lots of hours.
I agree. People have not enough time in their lives for thinking. Just thinking, you know, reflecting. And it takes time. It takes time to do it well. I didn't count the exact hours either, but it's more than 10 hours. It took me like in three sessions, over the week that, you know, that was the week off before I got back to work, and it was good. Like I needed that space to, like, in a few settings, like really think this through, because it defines the whole year. Like, this is. Like, we don't have that many years.
This is important stuff.
It's important stuff, right? And I can't tell from my limited experience, if you don't do it at all or don't do it very well, it's just, you know, the year will just disappear, and you'll do some things, and other things that were important just never found the time. And last year when I did it really well, it really paid off. It really did. So it's worth doing it well, even if it's going to take a lot of time.
And it's okay to fail. Even I mean, what I've observed over the last year is that, like, because for us this is so important. We said it several times. You know, the weekly review, the quarterly offsite, and now the yearly planning. This is so important for us. Yes, I haven't made all the goals. I know I haven't, you know, succeeded in everything I wanted. I set out to do, but I know exactly where I failed. I know exactly what I should be working on. Whereas I see people in my, you know, in like in my vicinity, you know, I see people that are just going with the flow. And you can see that. You can see that lots of things are just happening to them, and they are not, you know, deliberately choosing, you know, the life they could be choosing, you know. And you know, I don't want to just preach to everyone, but at least I'm trying to preach to people who are listening to this show that, you know, it's better to, you know, review this, plan it, and fail than just go with the flow.
I agree. One last thing. Well, maybe not last. And actually, I think this is the most important part. So maybe we should lead with it, but this is so important. You can't just make a plan, set out goals, and leave it for a year and review it next year. You can't do it. It has to be a plan, and you have to review it every week. Okay, we talked about week review. We talked about it a lot, and we didn't talk about it enough. To me, this is the most important, like, keystone habit that to me really defined last year. I did it for a long time, but not like last year. And what changed, what really made the plan succeed, is that every week I would look at the whole plan for the year. I would review it. I would see how I'm doing with this. If possible, if the specific goals were specific and measurable, then that's even better. And I would plan every week such that it brings me closer to achieving the goal. So it's not enough to plan the year, and it's not enough to just plan the week, because week to week we lose context of what's important. We get distracted by the day-to-day stuff. But if every week you see the plan and you make a tiny bit of plan for like 1/50th of the year to make progress towards the big goal, then you'll actually find yourself succeeding a lot more, because every week, like, you're ensuring that every week you've taken a step. And for big goals, that the goals worthy of setting for a year, it's going to take a lot of little steps. So you need to be disciplined in taking a step every week. And for that, we need the weekly review.
Yeah, and I mean, this has been always the part of my weekly review, to review my goals. But, you know, some people go even to extremes, as they create, you know, screensavers or wallpapers with their goals, you know, engraved, so that whenever they look at the computer, they see these goals and they have them, you know, in the back of their minds.
That is a bit extreme.
But if you don't, you know, go there, at least really just weekly review this, because as you said, the goals will set you up for the next week. You will know that, you know, you have to be aligned with these goals. So your decisions for next week, your choices will mm-hmm. will depend on your goals.
One more thing. Tweak the plan as time goes on. This is what you said. Just because you decided on something last year and it failed doesn't mean you have to keep trying to do it this year.
Yep.
And it's you shouldn't just do it every year. Also, every week and every quarter. If you see something that, oh, maybe, you know, your priorities change, you decide something is less important, more important, you found out about something, you got more information, more knowledge, you decided something was too ambitious or not ambitious enough, tweak it. And especially doing the quarterly reviews. A quarter is enough time to make big progress, but it's much smaller than a year. So this is also a good opportunity to tweak the plan. You know, don't be stuck with something just because you decided on it. It's fine to change your decision and take advantage of emergent opportunities. But also keep the original. like half the living document of your yearly plan, but keep the original so that you can review it next year to see how the plan changed, so that you don't forget about, you know, so that your yearly plan isn't the last iteration of it, which is has actually turned out to be much different from the original.
That's a good tip to keep the original and compare it to the one that actually was executed. It's a great advice. But and it all again it comes back to the skills, to developing the skills. You know, when you develop the skills towards a goal, the goal might change, because while learning a skill, acquiring a skill, you might discover new things. There might be new opportunities. You know, and like for me, in 2014, when I decided to lose weight, one of the skills that I wanted to acquire was to be a better runner, to run regularly. And I went ahead and found an accountability partner, a running buddy, and I was running with him twice a week. I also set out, you know, with a slow carb diet, so I learned the skills to eat better. But the best part was that in May, when I already, you know, was way past my weight goal, I was better than I set out to do, an opportunity showed up to do a triathlon. Mm-hmm. I never set out in January of 2014 to do a triathlon, not even in my mind. But then there was this opportunity, and this friend asked me to like if I wanted to participate, and I was really fit then. I was thin. I was fit. I was like, yeah, let's try to do it, because of my skills. You know, thanks to my skills, I could pursue this opportunity. And now I became an amateur triathlete because of that. You know, I never expected this. I never set out to do it. But it just, you know, I just went ahead and did it.
Okay, so we're running out of time, but I think it's worth mentioning at least a little bit of our plans to give like a concrete example of how to put those ideas in practice.
All right, so for me, what I mentioned also on my webinar, one of my goals for this year is to do 4 triathlons this year. 4, because this is pretty a big number, like it's lots of races. So I've never done 4 in a year, so it's a little bit of out of my comfort zone, and to do them at least once to beat my, you know, personal record, so personal best, and this is my goal. So but to achieve this goal, I need new skills. So one of the skills is I need to be a better swimmer, because I'm a poor swimmer right now. And well, I can get by. I do 1.5 kilometers, which is required for the triathlon, but I'm pretty slow. So to do it, I set out and I'm going to the swimming pool twice a week on Mondays and on Fridays. And I have my, you know, training, my session, my deliberate practice, feedback loops and everything else that we mentioned already in the book Peak. So I do the swimming part. So so the swimming is the new skill I'm going to acquire. I'm going to be a better swimmer. And I have time, because the first race is in the end of April. So I have time to acquire this new skill. And second, running. I want to be a better runner. I am already pretty good runner, but I've been on the same level for the last 3 years. So I want to be better. So I used Nozbe.how, where our friend from our company, Marcin, he and the one who's doing the podcast, he put out in the Nozbe.how a plan how to run 10K below 45 minutes. And I copied this plan from Nozbe.how, imported it to my Nozbe account, and I'm going to go follow the plan. And I invited to the project Marcin as my accountability partner. I'm following the plan, you know, deliberate practice again, to deliberately learn to run faster. And thanks to that, I'm going to, you know, hopefully finish the triathlon off with a nice, you know, with a quick run. So that's it, you know, 4 triathlons. And not only this, but also deliberate practice of swimming and running to become better. And even if I don't do the 4 triathlons, if I only do 3, but I do the deliberate practice sessions, I'm going to be better anyway. So I'm going to be fine. And I also set out with this goal, a bonus thing. If I manage to do the goal and I'm going to be a better runner, I'm going to do at the end of the year in November a half marathon in my friend's city, because my friend is organizing a half marathon. He always invited me to go. I never went. So maybe this year I will go if I'm in shape.
Okay, so two examples from my plan. One category, one area I want to be better at is actually called deliberate practice. So here the skills are actually the goal. so I want to, you know, I want to spend time every week, every Friday, in particular, learning new programming skills, essentially. I mean, not just programming skills, but in particular programming skills. So I have on the list things like do 210 hours of deliberate practice, which is 4 or 5 hours a week. So this is a specific measurable number. It's a bit ambitious at that point because not every Friday I actually find that kind of time, but we'll see how it goes. Maybe I'll tweak it. I have learn 3 new programming skills. So this is a bit vague because, like, ultimately it's arbitrary what I say is a new skill and what isn't. Like, I don't mean like trivial things, but like 3, you know, valuable bigger things.
Yeah.
And also read 2 programming books. So I don't read programming books very often because it's just, it takes a lot of time, like just practice. So I don't do that. But yeah, I guess I should do that. So that's the plan. Another example would be the morning routine. So this is one of the simpler things because I've already figured it out mostly, but it's not, you know, it's still something that's kind of in progress. It's a habit I've developed, but it's not set in stone. It's not intuitive. I still have to keep an eye on it to make sure I don't regress. So last year I had somewhere on the list a point, develop a better morning routine, and that was it, right? And then I figured the details as I was going on, but it wasn't part of the plan. No specifics here. I made a category for that, and I have 90% success rate at 8 o'clock waking up, and 90% success at morning reading. So, like I said, I have the spreadsheet. Every day, I just, you know, check good or bad, and so like it's trivial for me to check like how I'm actually doing, but because it's a specific number, like I can more easily hold myself accountable. I also have 2 other points, which is get to work at 9 o'clock every day of the week and always pre-plan the next day. And those are separate. There's like habits and not goals, because I don't track those, because this isn't a serious problem for me. Like the 2 previous ones are harder and more important, so I don't track everything. But it's still something I should be reminded of every week during my week review as I'm going through the plan to make sure I'm not regressing, right? And I mentioned that you should consider like an alternative, plan B. So for this, it's like if I start failing at the morning routine, then this should be fixed as the first priority, right? Like there are other things, other plans, other goals, habits, projects. But this to me is a keystone habit, right? It really makes everything else easier if I have this solid routine. If I start, you know, messing up my sleep schedule, it all goes downhill. it really helps me. So this, you know, this way I kind of already like pre-decided that if I start failing at this is really important to fix first.